So, the title of this sermon again is Treasures in Heaven. I just want to take it easy because there's so much to say. You know, there's a place Jesus told his disciples, I have so much to say to you, but you're not able to receive it. So he has to tell them little by little, line upon line, precept upon precept. Sometimes you said it all, but you may find out that people have not understood it all. But I really want you to understand, because what I'm looking for in our lives is transformation. Every time you come to the presence of God and you engage well with God, something must change. If something does not change, you have not engaged. And when you come into the presence of God, it is not God that changes, because God is perfect. He does not need any change. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. I hope I'm quoting it right. He said, but we are with unveiled face. Yeah? As we behold the glory of God. We are what? We are being changed. Hallelujah. Say, I'm changing. You have to. If you are not changing, you are not encountering God. You cannot encounter God and remain the same. In fact, you cannot afford to. Hallelujah. We are being changed from glory to what? To glory. Now, every time you are not engaging with God, you are regressing. Hallelujah. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. But when you are not engaging with the light, what is around you? It's darkness. You don't need to do anything about it. The darkness is around. And so, someone say, I've been in God's presence for the last 2 years. I've grown. I've become a much better Christian. Now I can do this on my own. I don't need fellowship. I don't need church. I'll just do once a month. And every time you're doing what? Yeah, you are regressing. Hallelujah. We don't want to regress. You don't need to do anything to regress. All you need to do is don't engage. If you don't engage, what will happen? You regress. Hallelujah. And the darkness will encroach. But thank God that we are children of light. See, I'm a child of light. And I delight in engaging with my Father God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He said, don't lay your treasures on heart. Why? Why shouldn't you lay your treasures on heart? I've known these verses for many years. As a believer, born again. Over 30 years, I've known these verses. But as I was studying, it came alive again. He said you should not lay your treasures where? Why? Why? I'll be both preaching and teaching today. Depends on how the Holy Spirit moves me. Yes? Why should you not lay your treasures on earth? Come on. I'll hold it.
Okay. Because it's a temporal place.
This is temporal. One day you will leave. And hopefully, if you're like me, you will not just leave ordinarily. You will fly. You'll be raptured. Amen. That's my dream. I don't want to be die out. I want to be raptured alive. Because Genesis 5:24 says that Enoch walked with God. Yeah? And this was even before Jesus came, before the cross. He walked with God. And he was what? He was translated. You see, the going to heaven of Elijah is not the same as going to heaven of Enoch. Elijah went up to heaven in chariots of fire. He still went up in his old body. And the Bible says Elijah is coming back as one of the two witnesses. He's still going to be, when he comes, he's going to look like an old man. Because it's his old body. It's just like they put that body in the freezer to preserve it for one more run. Amen? But Enoch did not go to heaven in his old body. It was translated. Yeah? It was caught up. Or in other words, it was resurrected. Enoch cannot come back to die. He is resurrected. You see the difference? By faith, Hebrews 11. Yeah? Enoch walked with God. And it was translated that he should not see death. Hallelujah. You see, that's the model of the rapture. Amen. And if you can receive it, I could even put it to you that Enoch is the angel Gabriel. Because when Daniel saw Gabriel in the book of Daniel, every time he saw him, he called him a man. But the angel Michael nobody ever called him a man. He said, I saw the man, Gabriel. I saw the man. Because if Enoch is translated, let me tell you, when we are raptured, Bible says you will have a new name. Your name for eternity will not be T.Y. You check in the book of Revelation, say, give them a new name. Even Jesus himself, we have what? A new name. Hallelujah. A new body and what? And a new name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the earth is temporal. Everything on this earth is what? Is temporal. Say with me, say the earth and everything on it and in it is temporal. But my spirit is eternal. Doesn't matter whether you are born again or not. Your spirit is eternal. It's about where it will go. The spirit cannot die because it came out of God. God is the father of spirits. Do you get it? God is the father of spirits. So Bible says God breathed into the nostril of the flesh of Adam. And it became what? A living soul. Spirit is from God. No spirit can die. No spirit can what? A spirit is eternal. It's about where it's going. Hallelujah. So you see, every other thing on earth is material. Everything is what? And can I also put it to you that everything you see on earth came from the ground? Let's have some samples. Let's see. Any samples of what you... Let's look at ourselves and see the things we can see in this room, including people. Yes? Tell me what you can see.
Sorry? My clothes.
Your clothes came from where? The ground. Yes? Another one. Just take samples. Look around this room. Everything in this room came from the ground. Yes? Any other person? Sorry, that's samples. Sorry?
Oh, chairs.
The chairs, plastic. Came from where? The ground. Yes?
Microphone.
Where did it come from? Your best semiconductors. Silicon Valley. You know what silicon is?
It's sand.
It's sand. Your iPhone, iPad, iWatch, i whatever. They are all sand. Yes? Any other thing you see here today that comes from the ground? Wait, let's wait for that one.
The building.
Everything in this building came from where? The ground. Yes? More. Come on. Open your eyes. Be an eagle eye like me. Come on. Yes? We shy there. What came from the ground? Tell me more things. More. We come to that one. That was the last one. That's the clincher. Yes, what else came from the ground? I'm trying to break down Matthew 6:19 that says, don't lay up treasure, what? On the earth. Yes?
Jewelries.
Your jewelry. Whether it's made of gold or silver or bronze, or it's made of pearl, or what else? What else? Diamond, beads. What else can jewelry be made of? Swarovski. Plastic jewelry. Where did they come from? The ground. Yes, more. I need more. There's still more things I'm seeing. The glasses that is hiding in that suit pocket. Yes. What else came from the ground? Come on, look around. Yeah. The food you eat. Where does it come from? The ground. What else? Sorry? We come to that one later. Yeah? What else comes from the ground? Your handbag. Paper. Yes. Praise the Lord. Let me show you a secret. Go open your Bible to Genesis. Genesis. Laying up for yourself treasures on the heart. And one of us here said, because what you see on earth is what? It's temporal. Okay? But I need to separate between the soul and the spirit. Every time you have to understand God, you must separate between the soul and what? And the spirit. If you don't separate it, you will not understand God properly. Genesis chapter 3. No, before Genesis 3, let's just look at Genesis 2. Genesis 2 verse 7. Yes? Will you give me Genesis 2 7, somebody? Let's have a young person. Yes, thank you. No, you're always keen to read the Bible. Go on.
And the Lord formed man, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being.
What did man become? A living being. Another version, what does it call man there in your version? Man became what?
A living soul.
Did you say a living body? No. Look at the Bible. Let's just break it down. I'm taking you somewhere. Genesis 2, verse 7. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. So the dust of his ground is not man. It's just his form. His form. Yeah? His house. Yeah? His packaging. Is what? The dust. Are you following me? He formed him. But he was not yet a living soul. Yeah? The form is his body. Yeah? The dust is your form. Say the dust. It's not me. It's my form. Then, was that enough? No. God had to what? Breathe. Do you think that God was breathing oxygen? Because for the other animals, he didn't need to breathe into them, did he? God breathed into his nostrils. It's not oxygen. It's something deeper than oxygen. It's something that comes from God. It's something spiritual. Hallelujah. When God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, yeah, it's not about the dust. Because God is not dust. Hallelujah. It's something spiritual. God breathed into his nostrils. What did God breathe in? Spirit. Hallelujah. Why? Because God is what? Spirit. And those who worship God must worship him how? In spirit. And what? And in truth. Hallelujah. And Bible calls God later, if you look at in the New Testament, it says the Father of Spirit. Hallelujah. The man became what? A living being. So what is the most important part of you? Your body, your soul, or your spirit? Yes, anyone? What's the most important part? What did God breathe in? Spirit. Say, I'm a spirit. I have a soul. And I live in a body. I can't even tell you that you're a spirit and you live in a soul. And your soul lives in your body. Your spirit. Your spirit lives within your soul. And your soul lives within what? Your body. Amen. That's why the soul is divided. Sometimes when the Bible is talking about your inner man, it's talking about your soul and your spirit, depending on how he's saying it. The Bible says your innermost being, that's your spirit. But the Bible says your inner man, you say your outer man is perishing, but your inner man is being what? Renewed day and day by. We know it's your mind that is renewed. That's your soul. But again, when your soul begins to align with your body, that's why you have the carnal man. Because it's not just your body that is carnal. Your mind can be carnal. Amen? So your soul is in the middle. It's a divide that switches between your body, making you carnal, or your spirit, making you what? Spiritual. Now go to Genesis 3. Genesis 3. We're looking at, don't lay up for your treasures on earth. And I'm taking you to Genesis. Genesis 3. This is God talking after Adam and Eve have sinned and they disobeyed him. They chose themselves above God. That was the sin. The sin was to choose themselves above what? Above God. That's the test. I'm going to give you all you want, but you're going to submit. You're going to live under me because I am the guarantee of true life. But when they choose to go their own way, to be wise in their own eyes. Desire to take control. Amen? See, when you're a believer, you don't take control. You let God, yeah, have control. Amen? And you can take charge. But you don't take what? You don't take control. You don't take the driver's seat and make God the passenger. No, no, no. You let him drive. You be the passenger. Amen? You are there to implement what God is telling you about your life. I'll take you deeper. You will see it in Matthew 6. So Genesis 3, I want that verse, just one verse, because it struck me. It really struck me. Genesis 3, verse 19. Now they've sinned. Before they sinned, God breathed into the nostrils of man, and he became what? A living soul. I like that transition best. Yeah? A living what? Soul. What happened in Genesis 3:19? Somebody help me. Come on. Everyone, you have to engage with your Bible. I always say that. If you don't have a Bible up on your phone is not smart. And my son will challenge me because I gave him a Nokia phone. That is, you know, the old school. That phone is not smart. I agree. Your time will come. Genesis 3:19.
By the sweat.
Yeah, that was God speaking after man had sinned. Go on.
By the sweat of your brow will you have food to eat until you turn to the ground from which you were made.
Mm-hmm.
For you were made from dust, and to dust you will return.
Amen. Somebody give me King James or New King James. Let me just emphasize. That's the last line. The last line of Genesis 3:19. Anyone in this corner? Yes.
In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return.
Amen. Now somebody will take that verse and, you know, they form all their life theology on it. Say, Lord, we are dust. You're not just dust. When he sinned, what was left? Dust. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is very specific. When God is using a language, he is addressing the situation. He has sinned. He had fallen short of God's glory. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, say, all have sinned and fall what? Short. They fall short. Sin causes you to fall short. Then what remains? Dust. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, you're not just dust. But if you are laying up all your treasures on earth, you are pursuing what? Dust. Everything you eat, everything you do on earth is dust. In the flesh. Your food is from dust. I know that doesn't sound nice. Yeah? Scientifically, every cell in your body is being replaced. I don't know the frequency now. Somebody needs to tell me. Like, I know you still look like you. But scientifically, you are replacing your body cells. Do you know how frequently? Somebody, anybody help me? Yeah. So it's not every cell in your body, 7-8 years ago, it's not the same cells. Though you still look like you. Amen? It's dust. It's dust. You eat dust. Sorry to say it that way. Yeah, and the dust replaces the dust in your body. Yeah? And you keep regenerating. So in the body, all material is dust. Are you following me? So he said, don't lay up your treasures on what? On earth. The reason is this. The treasures of your life are the things that your spirit produces. The choices you make. The decisions you make. The software. Yeah? You see, software is weightless. Can you weigh software? That's the value. That's the value of your life. It's the software. The hardware is dust. You see, you may invest all your life on hardware, but you are investing in dust. And it will fade away. It must fade away because it can only fade away. Are you with me? At the end of time, God himself will burn up the earth and the heavens and refine it, and there will be a new one. Can I say, all the dust will be burned up? Amen. That's why I said, don't lay up your treasures on earth. Because you are not just dust. You are a spirit. Say, I'm a spirit. Hallelujah. Now, where do your treasures come from? Your treasures come from the choices you make, the decisions you make. And the only thing that is treasurable that can last forever is God Himself. Because in the beginning, yeah? Who was there? God. Yes, that's John. Breaking it down, which is correct. When Genesis says, in the beginning, God created. Everything came out from who? God. He's the one that is eternal. So every time, yeah, I form values and I make choices that honor God. They are eternal. They are eternal. They can't fade away. They are treasures in heaven. But every time I'm pursuing what the earth can offer alone, it is dust. It is dust. Hallelujah. Open your Bible with me to Matthew. Matthew chapter 4. Just like I said, today we're just opening up the topic. And I'm going to pull it together. Matthew chapter 4. I want to show you the strategy of the devil in the life of every believer. Every. Matthew 4. Matthew chapter 4. And we're going to look at Matthew 4. We're going to look at verse 8 to 10. Matthew 4, verse 8 to 10. Pumula, I'm looking at you. He said, you should not lay up your treasures on earth. And someone gave me a good answer that. Why? Because the things on earth are what? They are temporal. They are. They say the things of this world are temporal. But the things of God are eternal. Matthew 4, did I say 10 to 12 or 8 to 10? Thank you. Yes, who's ready? Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. If you want to.
Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him.
When you see the sun, you feel like everything has warmed up. But we are grateful for sunshine. When I was growing up in Nigeria, I could never talk like this. Because we had sunshine all the time. We're always looking for a cold drink after lectures at uni. But when you live in this country for a long time, you appreciate the sun. Amen? Hallelujah. This is the third temptation of Jesus Christ. And by the way, our children are studying that today. As an adult, you may want to look at their Sunday school notes. You will learn a lot of things from there. Third temptation of Jesus, yeah? The first temptation of Jesus, what was it? Anybody? Do you know why he gave him that temptation? Because the Bible says, after Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he became what? Very hungry. So, when the devil wants to come to your life, his first strategy is to look at your current weakness. He tries to enter First, from what is your current weakness. That is, what you need most at the moment. The devil will try to enter you through the dust, the bodily desires. Yeah? What do you wish for above all things right now? That is his entry point. Amen? So, to keep the devil away, like we were saying on Friday, I have to make sure that anything I want, I must not hold on to it too tightly. Because if I hold on to it too tightly, I will go wherever it goes. Yeah? If it's funny, I will fall with it because I've bonded myself to it. It's like I don't have any life without this thing. If you live like that, you are laying up treasure on earth. Amen? Because in one day, it can slip. Does that mean your life is over? No. Because your life is greater than the food. Amen? And yesterday I was meditating. I was like, why didn't Jesus said, man shall not live by bread, alone, by every word. But he was hungry. Why was it a temptation? Someone is hungry and to eat food is legitimate. Particularly if you are hungry. I'm not talking about if you're hungry after you've eaten 4 meals. Yeah. I'm talking about you've not eaten for 40 days. Is that not legitimate to want to eat? Does anything seem wrong? So why was it a temptation? Can anybody help me? Because I like to look at it very practically. I don't just want to just read it. Like, Jesus has not eaten for 40 days and he became very hungry. What is wrong in him turning stones to bread? And he was in the wilderness, by the way. All that was around him was stones. So why not a quick fix?
There was a condition to it. It's not like just turn stones to bread and eat. He's saying if you are the Son of God, which is who he is. So I think that's where the temptation is.
Okay, thank you. I like that answer. Let's take this is perfect, but I like it. Let's take more.
I think the fact that it may come about to be termed as misuse of power because it had the power to actually turn the stones to bread. And the other one of coming into the city to get food to break his fast. So that would have
been. Thank you, I like it. And it overlasts what you were saying. By the way, did you know that would have been his first miracle if he did it? Hello? For 30 years, Jesus did not do any miracle. All he was feeding on was the word of God. Yeah? And then he went to be baptized in water. And then immediately after he was baptized in water, the Holy Ghost came upon him. He was baptized in the Holy Ghost at the Jordan River. They happened one after the other. So now he's anointed. He's never done any miracle. When he was 12, what did he see him doing? Spirit or word? It was word. He was discussing with the religious teachers. 30, the Spirit came on him. I mean, he had the Spirit within him, no doubt. In the Holy Ghost, he was conceived. Amen? But the Spirit came upon him. Yeah? Now he's operating in the anointing. And the devil wants to stimulate the first miracle. For his own... Let me keep quiet. Sister Effie, let me listen first. So that I don't take away what you wanted to say.
Yeah. The devil, I think, wanted to stir up something. He said, if you're the Son of God, command this. And... looking at it, Jesus does not want to give him that glory, and is another thing, humble, because he's always come out as that humble. So whether I'm the Son of God, I'm not, it's not going to be you that will prompt me to do
Amen.
What God has me to do.
I like it. I'm going to show you something now, but when I show you this, I'm not taking credit. I listened to it in the sermon. The devil came to you and said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to be bread. What did he reply? What did he reply? Man! So if you are the Son of God, they say, I'm a man. Hello? I'm what? A man. He's pointing him one way, but he just said, I'm going to defeat you as a man. I'm not just going to defeat you because I'm the Son of God in the heavens. Because the Word has become what? Flesh. It first brings back, come back to our level. Man shall not what? Live by bread alone. Amen. Let me try to run it off for you. The Bible did not record that Jesus had broken his fast. Yeah, he became hungry. But have you ever fasted and you became hungry? And it was still 12 o'clock. Yeah? You planned that you're going to fast at 6. At 3 o'clock, you became very hungry. Yeah? Now, I just want to break it down a bit more. What is the purpose of fasting? Why do we fast? Why do people fast? Why should you fast? Is it that God is so mean that until he sees you punish yourself? Say, God, you see, I'm punishing myself very hard now. So you know you answer that prayer. Is that the reason? So why do we fast?
To align ourselves with the will of God.
Align ourselves with the will of God. Yes, more? Why do you fast?
Subdue our flesh.
To subdue our flesh? Yes, more. Why do you fast? Now, yes, let me take one more.
To see God's face.
To what? See God's face. Yes, that is pointing where I wanted to point now. One more. Just keep going that direction. Why do we fast? I'm looking at the professional fasters.
Sometimes that's rededication.
Yes. Did you want to say anything? You've been too quiet today. Yeah. Normally you talk to me. Yes. Why do you fast?
You starve your flesh so that your spirit can connect to
God. To activate your spirit. All the answers are good. They are all good. Fasting is an attention problem. That's why what destroys your spirituality most in life is distraction. You know, I've told you before, I said the devil could never deceive Eve until he first distracted her. When she's distracted her, he sold her a blatant lie. He said, no, it's not so. What God, what devil told, after he distracted her, he told her that what God said is not true. Is that not a blatant lie? He said, you shall not die. God said, you shall surely die. And the serpent is telling Eve, you shall not surely. That's complete negation. But you can't tell her at the beginning. You must first distract her. Told her all the things that could happen, you know, if she had. And told her. So what I'm trying to say is that attention, yeah, will do your spiritual life a lot of good when you pay attention to God. Proverbs chapter 4, it says, my son, give what? Attention. What is the best gift you can give to God? Your attention. You know why? Because every other thing you need for life and godliness is in him. Amen? You can make a sacrifice of your own doing, of your own way, and offer it to God and it be acceptable. No. Cain tried it. It didn't work. And I know many people think that Cain was a good man. Cain was what? That's why the Bible wrote you the history of his descendants. Is there any other person like that in the Bible? He was a good man. Yes, anytime you call someone a good man, remember Cain. He was what? A good man. When the mother gave birth to Cain, mother said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. It was not from the devil. Amen? And when God talked to Adam and Eve and said, you know, now, how will you eat food? He said, you're going to till the ground. Yeah? And from there, you what? You will eat for all the days of your life. So who became the tiller of the ground? Cain provided food for his family, both parents and siblings. Because Abel was what? Who was Abel? What was he doing? Please follow me. We are talking about not laying treasures on the earth. Abel, what was his profession? Anyone? He was what?
Shepherd.
He was shepherd. But they were not eating meat before the flood. You see, after the flood, God told Noah that he can now kill animals and eat them, but they should not eat blood. Before the flood, they were not eating meat. Because when God created Adam and Eve, he said that, what? I have given you every seed-bearing plant and every... They had plants, even the lions and co. You know, when God made them, they were not cannibals. It's sin and the fall that brought all the mess. Anybody love meat in this church? God has permitted you. You understand? God gave it to Noah, you know, that they can eat. Amen? So you're not sinning. Amen? Because the heart is not in its perfect state. But I can almost tell you that you will not eat meat in eternity. You will not. Because there will be no death. There will be what? No death. All you'll be eating, you'll be eating from the tree of life. And it produces 12 different kinds of fruit. And the leaves are for the healing of the nations. Praise the Lord. Where was I? What did I say last? Sorry? Attention. Yes, let me take on questions. You see, today I'm just scratching the surface of treasures in heaven. I'm not going to do it. I'm just scratching the surface. Just to focus your mind back on God. He's your source. He's your beginning and your end. If I spend all my life pursuing just material things, I'm chasing dust. Now, I'm not saying you should not pursue material things, but I'm asking you, who is the master? Who is the master? Your work, your money, your friends, your relationship, your family, or God? Who have you put first in your life? We can measure it. We can measure it. It is measurable. Jesus said, by their fruits shall you what? Know them. Let me drop this in. And apologies to whoever may be offended in the flesh, but switch to the spirit. Habitual lateness. Now, take note of the word habitual. Habitual lateness to church is a very poor attitude to God. It's attitude. I mean, have you ever met people who have attitude? When someone has attitude, how do they behave? And how do you feel? Anybody ever show you attitude in your life? You don't say anything. You don't have to. You can pass. I will allow you. They will. Come on, anybody help me. Someone has attitude. How do they come across to you? Anybody? You are giving God attitude. Is that, think about it. When it's time to go to work, I know you like to be late, naturally. But because you fear your boss or whoever you fear, you try to be punctual. Yeah? When you time for school run, I know you like to sleep. I like to sleep in the morning. But you remember the head teacher or whoever the teachers are. I said, no, we can't be late. When you paid for a vocational lesson for your child, you paid your money for this lesson. You are drawing to make sure that you are not late for this lesson because you paid money for it. Yeah? Are you seeing the value we place on dust? But now, when it's time to come into the presence of God, you come with attitude. The first poor attitude you show to God is, can't be bothered. They should even be grateful that I came to church. Hello? We have to give the right. You can't put God in the backside and you say that you love God. You don't. But I don't mean that you don't. It's just that your love has worse code. Hello? I don't mean that you don't. But you see in the book of Revelation chapter 2 that your love can worse what? Cool. You can see two people now, young people, they are madly in love with each other. Please, I'm talking to the youth in the house. Listen to me. Someone said that it takes about 2 years to fall in love and fall out of love. Every married person here has experienced it one way or the other. Now, explain. What I'm saying is, if you meet somebody and you are heads over eels, that do it. This is not head over eye eel. For them. Yeah? You know, there's an American rapper called what? Is it Kanye West? Oh, he has changed his name even. You understand? You are head over least ills. Give it 2 years. The emotion will fade away. Because you have discovered the things you did not what? You didn't know. You know why people fall out of love? Can someone tell me? Why do people fall out of love? Emotionally. I mean emotionally. You love somebody. You love them. And like, I mean like, when you fall in love, yeah? It's like the person should not even leave your side. You don't see anything. Everything is beautiful. Everything is good. It's altogether lovely. Yes? Now, why do people fall out of love? After like 2 years. I didn't say they split. I didn't say they separated. They are still living together. I have experienced this. Falling out of love. I experienced it. Because I've been married for more than 2 years. Yes, why? 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 Come on. Talk. Why do people fall out of love? Yes? Why? Let me... Yes?
The other person being unfaithful.
Other person. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Yes, more? Yeah, you know, I mean, that it's always the other person.
Yeah, maybe you believe the other person. Maybe they change the way they look. Yeah. You know, like with men, you know, yeah. They say the lady has gone put on weight, yeah, or something like that. Yeah. And it's just not the picture they had before.
Yes.
And it doesn't.
And doesn't tally. Amen. No man, by the way, if you are fed up with someone, let me not go there. Let me continue. Yes.
I think falling in love is an emotional feeling.
Yes. Why can't you continue?
Just changes.
Yeah, but for the first 2 years, it was sustained.
Yeah, you probably got tired of seeing the person.
Amen. Let me say, all the things you said are correct, but just to link it to this message today, you fall out of love because you start taking the other person for granted. That's the only reason. I mean, one way or the other. I mean, like, let's assume you were not taking them for granted, but they started taking you for granted. You can't remain in emotional love for the whole of your life. And there are people like that. There are some couples like that. You will see, once you see, you know that something is drinking very strong. Because you refuse to take them for what? For granted. So familiarity will breed what? Contempt. That's why Christians come habitually to church. It's familiarity. When they first were born again, they won't just come early. They will preach in the bus. Carry the old bus to church. But familiarity. When familiarity, then contempt. Now, how do you rekindle the fire of love in your relationship if it's dying? If it's dying or it's dead? Yeah? It's the same thing. You must reverse the process. And stop taking people for granted. But you know what? Even if you cannot rekindle the fire of love, don't worry about it. This world is not forever. It's temporal. Amen? Amen? But there is one that is eternal. And if you don't rekindle the fire of your love towards God, it has serious consequences. Serious. Let me come back. Let me see how we're doing time. Because I always try to finish on time. We'll continue next time. So, So I wanted to tell you that. After the devil gave Jesus the first attempt. Yeah? That was the first attempt. The way temptation works, that it must be ramped up. Temptation is never ramped down. It's what? It's ramped up. So, command these stones to be bread. Oh, by the way, I was trying to tell you that. Fasting is about paying attention to God. And the Bible does not record that he has finished his business. You know, the devil does not wait for you to finish your business. He will interrupt and disrupt and interfere. He looks for his opportune time, isn't it? So, the mission has not finished. His fasting is paying attention to God. The devil says, no, that is not as important as food. You know, there are people there, even online, that will tell you that someone that's not eating, why should they give to God? It's anti-scriptural. It doesn't make, you see, in the mind it will make sense. It's not, but spiritually it's rubbish, complete rubbish. Yeah? Because man shall not live by what? By bread alone. But why? By how? By every word that comes in the mouth of God. And how do you get every word? You pay attention. Hallelujah. So, Satan, you have no right to use my bodily desire to disrupt my attention to God. You don't get to decide that. I want to throw something in now. If you are always quoting an excuse why you're not going to give your best to God, you're not serious with God. The constraints will always be there. God is most glorified in the middle of your constraints because you get to choose Him above them. Amen? I was having a walk Monday. That's when I realized. I said, look, you may be going through a hard time. Yeah? But even in your hard time, when you choose God, He's glorified. God is looking for opportunities to boast on you. He said, why did God allow Job to be tempted and to be tried? God was, look, you know, I was in the Bible service. Someone asked me this question. The Holy Spirit gave me utterance. He said, how can God? He said, this man, he loved God and he was perfect. Bible says he was perfect. And Bible says, you know, he feared God and he did everything right. And then God allowed the devil to come and bully him. In code. I said, yeah, but you know, read the story. And he claimed to me that he's read the story. I took him back there. I just said, you know, it's the beginning of this problem. Yeah? The devil came. He said the sons of God were gathering. And the devil came. Now you've been wondering, why can't the devil go to the throne of God? If the devil can come to the throne of God, why can't he come to tempt you? Let me tell you why. Because in the court of heaven, yeah, there's a prosecutor. You know it as the accuser of the brethren. It's a ministry. And please, don't join his ministry, okay? Don't try not to join that ministry. It's legal. He goes there, he still does it. Until in the middle of the tribulation, then his ministry will be over. So he has the right to go there. You say, why I can God allow that? I will show you now, you will see it. So when he went, follow the story. What happened? Who started the conversation? Devil or God? Let's go to Job. Go to Job. You know, like one of us was saying today, if you can see, there are many things you are not seeing. If you can see it, you will live differently. You will not be pursuing dust, putting layers of dust on your body, on your life, thinking that that's your value. That's not your value. That's not your value. Your value is in the software. The hardware will perish. The purpose of the hardware is what we use it for. To achieve. You see, the purpose of hardware is what you use it to achieve to the glory of God. And I want to say something. If you go your own way and do your own thing, you can't come and submit to God and say, for your glory. Romans 11:36 says, for of Him, and through Him, and to Him. Anything that will be to the glory of God must be of Him, and what? And through Him. So if you are not walking with God, allowing Him to guide you to that journey, you can't be to His glory. If you doubt it, ask Cain. Okay, let me finish this and we leave it there because time is finished. Actually, I'm not going to open because time is gone. Let me just tell you, check it in the book of in your Bible. It wasn't God. It wasn't. You want to say something? Yes. We are rounding up. Just bear with me. Let me give you that. This last part. You know, I don't cook jollof rice. I have a lot of wonderful sisters around me. Am I not blessed? I can never go hungry. It's impossible. Praise the Lord. But I cooked the word. Yes?
Just in line with who started the conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah, so when Satan came among the people in the court of heaven, so then the Lord asked him, so where are you coming from that you're here? And he says, oh, I've been walking around patrolling. He says, okay, have you seen my son? He's great. He's the, yeah.
Hallelujah. It wasn't the devil. God wants to boast on you. Hello? The old Genesis of Paul is that God, first of all, He will never allow you to be tempted above what you can bear. So that's why the resume was given. Job was a man that feared God and hated evil. He was upright. Can you see that resume? He's capable. God will never allow Satan to come and tempt Job that way if God had not seen his resume. Yeah? Because God has tested his character. God has seen. God, he will never allow you to be tempted above what you can carry. So, the Genesis, what was happening to Job is that God is boasting on Job. Let me see my servant Job. God initiated it. I said, God what? Initiated the temptation of Job. Why? Because God is always seeking for an opportunity to be glorified in your life. That's God's food. What's God's food? He wants to be glorified in your life. The Bible says Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Have you ever read that? It was the Spirit that led him. Why? Because every time you choose God above flesh, above dust, above, you know, the things of the world, he is glorified. Hallelujah. And you say, let me finish on this class. The Bible says when Jesus came out of the water, the Spirit descended upon him like a dove. Yeah? And a voice from heaven said, what did he say? Why is Jesus the beloved Son of God? The answer is in the verse. Somebody help me. He could have stopped there. He could have said, this is my beloved Son. End of statement. Why is Jesus the beloved Son of God? Because God is well pleased in him. Hello? It's simple. He could have stopped and said, this is my beloved Son. Hear him. Is that what he said? He said, this is my beloved Son. In whom I am what? Hallelujah. Please let's rise up and talk to God. I want you to understand that taking God for granted, yeah, destroys the love. You see, it's in Revelation. He said, your love has washed gone. All your first works, you're no longer doing it. And he said, Jesus told us, repent. And let me tell you something. It doesn't matter what any other person anywhere in the world is doing. It doesn't matter what you watch on TV. It's not what God is not moved by what people say or what people do. God is moved by his word. God bypassed millions of people in the world and saved just 8. Noah and his family. God is not moved by people. God is moved by what? His word. He said, I've exalted my word above my name. Gideon got an army of 32,000? God cut it down to what? 300. God is not moved by people. So don't base your obedience to God, you know, based on people. Based on the word. The word. Hallelujah. The word. Hallelujah. You have got to be faithful to the word. They go together. Faith and faithfulness are the same coin. If you have faith in something, you will be faithful to it because you believe in it. When you stop believing, you stop being what? Faithful. So if you are unfaithful in any part of your life to God, you have stopped believing in that part. I know you still say you believe, but the depth of your faith is shallow. Pray to God and rededicate yourself to God, because we want to lay our treasures in heaven. They can't fade away. You are eternal. And every time you choose God above the things of this world, and you put him first, yeah? You put him first. God does not tell you that you cannot use anything in the world. He said, put me what? First. Let me be at the driving seat. Then. You know, and that also affects the way in our money. We talked over and over again. So you have to put God first. You're not yet believing God in your money if you cannot put him first. You are valuing dust and matter more than God. You say, I love God, but you are not putting him first. Yeah? That's how love fades away. Begin to talk to God and just rededicate yourself. When you're madly in love, I'm not saying you should be madly in love, you know, you don't hold back anything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the way to rekindle love is stop taking the person, in this case God, for what? For granted. Because God is perfect. He can't fail you. God always does his part. God always does his part. It never happens that God never did his part. If something failed, it's man that failed. Because God is perfect. He doesn't come late for a meeting. He doesn't. He does his business perfect. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for how you've blessed us today. Thank you for the utterance to preach and teach your word. Thank you because this will give back to transformation in our lives. Thank you because as we have seen you today through your word, we are not remaining the same. We are changing from glory to glory. We understand, oh God, that the things of this are temporal. Even the dust that we live in is temporal. You can't guarantee to live in this dust forever. But your spirit, your values, your decision, how you honor God, how you serve God, how you obey God, is what? They are eternal. So we ask that you help us to walk by faith, to live by faith. And that automatically implies that we will be faithful. Thank you, Lord. All through the book of Revelation, you told us about faithfulness. Thank you because we walk in that faithfulness. In Jesus' name, we have prayed.